Welcome to another episode of Bible Bread Daily. Yes, yes, if you are here, you are absolutely in the right place. You are where you need to be. Why? Because in Bible Bread Daily, we turn to God's spoken word. We turn to His word and we listen to Him and we allow Him to speak to us through His word and lead and guide us. We live in a time where there's so much information out there, so much false information, so much wrong information, people fighting for your attention, social media sites and what's trending, and advertisers fighting for our attention, Amazons out of the world fighting for our attention. And here we have the spoken word of God. What could be more important for any of us, what could be more important for us to do with our time than to turn to the word of God, to His words, and read it and allow Him to speak to us and lead us and guide us in this world that we live in. You know, He came to be a light to us, to lead and guide us out of this perverse world, out of this perverse world. And His word is the words that we read, that we listen to, and it is a lamp to our feet. It is His words that leads and guides us, not in our own truth, you see? Again, there's so much information out here. So not in our own truth. His word leads and guides us in His truth. I am so excited for today. We've been reading in the book of John. We're going to jump back in the book of John, starting in chapter 3. I'm excited for this. God has been speaking to us, and He continues to speak to us as we humble ourselves. That's what He tells us to do, as we humble ourselves and turn to Him and allow Him to lead and guide us. I pray that you guys are blessed by what we read today. I pray I'm blessed myself. I know it's going to be good. Why? Because it's God's word. Let's get into it. As always, before we get started, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, your precious word, God. We humble ourselves today and we turn to your word to hear from you as you lead and guide us, God. You told us that if we lack wisdom, if we ask you, that you will give it to us freely, freely and without any reproach. You will just freely give us wisdom if we seek you, that we will find you. We know that your words are the words of life because they're your words, God. So as we turn to your word, help us to understand, help us to see, help us to hear, not through ourselves, God, but the way you want to speak to us for us to understand. You said, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger shall not follow." Speak to us today, God, in your holy Son's name. Amen. All right, guys, let's jump in. Okay, so John chapter 3. We're in John chapter 3 today. And it says, verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Wow. Wow, that's amazing right there. This exchange, this conversation right here between Nicodemus and Jesus. This is amazing. And one thing I would just say, and we'll come back and circle and touch on some of these things that we're reading here, but one thing to point out that I just noticed really quickly in this is that Nicodemus is a Pharisee. A Pharisee is like a priest, or in today's modern time, we would call like a pastor, right? Of the church. But he's a Pharisee, someone who studied the word of God, should know the word and the laws of God, should know, about God, should also know about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so he comes to Jesus by night, by the way, right? And he says to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So this is a pastor, in today's time. Think about that, coming to Jesus, right? But during a time where Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, right? For him to be here. And for them at that time to be the pastors of that time to recognize and know that the Messiah is there. That's their job as pastors at that time, is to recognize when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come into the world. And so he's saying this to Jesus, right? So let's keep reading on and we'll come back and talk about some of this. Jesus answered and says, so here it is. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You see, Jesus is pointing it out right here. Look at that. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow, I'll read that again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Wow, this is amazing. Let's go back over verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now look at this. This is the condemnation, that the light, who's that light? Jesus Christ, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light. Wow, look at this. What is he telling you? He that does the truth, does, that's an act of doing. That is an act of doing. That is the act of following Jesus, following his word, humbling ourselves and saying, you are right. You are the truth. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He's the truth, right? So it's a humbling of ourselves to turn to his word. Wow. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God, not in themselves, that they have been done in God. Why? Because God will always get the glory. He'll always get the glory. This is amazing. Let's keep reading. Verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judah, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptized in Aenon, near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom have you testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. So they're telling John that Jesus Christ is now baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered, and this is verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Wow. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Now look at the verse before that. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. I'll read that again. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Wow. Look at that. No one above another. It's like, this is amazing. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. They simply speak the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son, and he has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on him. Why? We live in a perverse world, right? We live in a perverse world. And this world has already been judged. God has already judged this world for it to be destroyed. Wow, this is amazing. Well, I just want to point out a few things that we read over in this verse, in this chapter, that just stands out. I mean, a few things that just really stands out going through this. You know, the exchange in the beginning between Nicodemus and Jesus, this is so important. This is so important because what Jesus is telling Nicodemus and what they're actually talking about is eternal life. Eternal life. How does a person obtain eternal life? How does a person become reconciled back to God the Father, who is an everlasting God, a God of life? He is life, and life is in him. Remember what we read in the in John, it was either 1 or 2, where it talks about, you know, that life, and that life being the light to all men. Wow. So this is an important conversation that's happening right here. And this conversation is so important for so many reasons. But think about it this way. This isn't just a question for Nicodemus to be asking Jesus. This is a question that we ourselves, you could remove the name Nicodemus and put our own names right there. This is a question that we ourselves simply could come to Jesus and ask him. Nicodemus asked Jesus in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother womb and be born?" So before this, now Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says, unless one is born again. So if you're alive and you're hearing this, you're clearly hearing this because you're alive, okay? So you're alive and you're hearing this. So you were born once because you're hearing this. But you have to be born a second time. You have to be born again. So this is why this conversation is so important, because we all have to be born again a second time in order to be reconciled back to God and be with the Father, right? He says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's thinking of the way that he physically came into this world when he was born. He knows he came from his mother's womb, and he's saying, how can that happen a second time when you're old, when you're adult, an adult? How can you do that? And look at what Jesus says to him. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water, every person in this world, when you were born, you're that sack of water, that sack has to be broken, right? For you to come into the world. So you're born of the water. But look at this. And the spirit. You see? So here's the second birth right there, born again. The first birth, if you're alive right now, you came through a sack of water. Forgive me for not being up to what I should be with medical things like that, but yes, you know, when you're in your mother's womb, you're in your mother's stomach, you're in a sack of water, right? You know, and so that, you know, that water breaks, and then you come into the world. So one is born of water and the spirit. Now that's the second birth, being born again, that spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So that's the problem right there, because that first birth of being born of the water, like we all are, right? We all came in to this world, birthed through that water. But that is still from the flesh. That's that physical side of things, which also Nicodemus is asking him, how do you go back a second time into your mother's womb? He's still thinking about it in a fleshly way, because that's your flesh. That's your physical body that we have. And so Jesus says to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So now you're born again, But this second time that you're being born, it's now a spiritual birth that you're having. You see it now? Now, this is being born again, where you're going to be able to be reconciled to God and see the kingdom. It is a spiritual birth. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit, right? You just don't know where it comes from. But we pray. We pray and we ask God for His Holy Spirit. We don't know where it comes from. We cannot see it. You see, this is basically what he's pointing out there. But through faith, we believe, and we believe in him. And then we turn to him, and we turn to his words, and we start to follow him. And then through that faith, that's that born again. That's that new creation that we're becoming. That is being, having his Holy Spirit in us. His Holy Spirit's also leading and guiding us through his words as we're reading it right now. You see, so this is that confirmation of that birth of that Holy Spirit. It's in you. You don't see it from the winds, and you don't know the same way we don't see the winds and understand, but you know it's in us, and praise God for that. What else? There's some other things that we see, you know, just reading in this that, wow, you know, it was kind of stood out. He says here that if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Wow. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. He's talking about himself. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes, there it is. There it is, right there. That whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the Holy One, Yahshua, Yahweh. So many different names he has, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And look at what he's saying, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what it's about right here for us. But that the world through him might be saved. This is our opportunity right here. Remember what we read just previously in John. He is the light that came into the world, that light to lead and guide us out of this world. Not to condemn us, but to save us. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light, look at this, talking about himself, Jesus, he's the light, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You see? This is every man wanting to do and live. This is every person in the world, including myself, any of us who wants to live according to how we choose to live, according to what we feel is right and wrong, according to what we believe in and what feels right to me, what makes the most sense in my mind, how do I think things should be, what is my idea of who I think God is and how he judges the things that makes God upset, my idea of who God is, my idea of how the end of anything is going to play out, my idea of when I die, what happens after I die. We all going to die. We're all going to die. And so, it's turning away from that and turning to Jesus and to his word. Because this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light. Rather than for us to humble ourselves. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. You see, when we fear God and fear that he is right, that what he says are the words that we will stand before him one day and be judged by. To fear him in that way, that is the beginning of all wisdom. Why? Because then we humble ourselves and turn to his word, and we start to hang on every word he says, because we understand that it is his words that is life, and not our own, and not Google, and not the world's, and not professors, and not people who went to school to study the Bible, or people who've studied the history books, or philosophers and genius people of the world. No one's above God. No one's above God. And so it's to humble ourselves and turn to that light. But men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth. You see, that's the difference of coming to that light, coming to his word, coming to him. And then we start to do his truth. We start to do the things that he says and how he tells us to live, the ways that we should live and the words that we live by. That is life to us. But he who does the truth comes to the light. You see, you're coming to that light. Because his word is a light to our feet. It guides our path. So we're reading this word. We're coming to the light. He's teaching us. He's leading and guiding us. He told Peter at one point, he was washing Peter's feet. And Peter said, don't just wash my feet. Wash my hand and my head as well, Lord. And Jesus said, no, you're already clean. You're already clean. You only need your feet washed. In other words, you're already clean through me, your belief in me. The Holy Spirit is in you because of that. You just need your feet washed. You need me to teach you how to walk. You need me to teach you how to walk. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Wow. And lastly, I just wanted to point out in this, with John, where they come to John now, some of John's disciples, and they tell him that they see Jesus baptizing people, and they want to know, is this right or wrong, or what's going on with this? And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. But I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. Wow. But just what John tells them, Jesus Christ, when he comes back in the end to judge the world, two things is going to happen. It talks about this in the book of Revelation. You'd have to look it up. I don't know exactly where. But two things happen. He judges the world. And we also see where there is a marriage that takes place, a union, a unity where we become one with Jesus, this marriage. And so right here where we're reading about this bride and this bridegroom, that means God's people, the people who believe in Jesus, everything that we just read about him being that light and us following that light and walking in that light and declaring his name and living for him. In the end of it all, he marries his people. He joins with his people. So he is the bridegroom. His people is the bride. And so John is even expressing here how happy he is to have been a voice. Therefore, the joy of mine is fulfilled just to have been able to point people in the direction and for him now to see for himself. Here it is. He's here. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is here. Wow. Isn't his word just amazing to open his word and listen to this? Wow. How amazing is God's word? Just reading this today. Wow. How amazing is God's word? Like, this is what we need. This is what we live by. I'm so excited about us reading this, going through the book of John. God is so good. God is so good. I hope that today, that just in reading this, that God has spoken to you, that you hear something, even outside of some of the things that I might have pointed out. Like, I pray that God is just showing you so much. Pray to God and ask him to reveal his words to you and open his word and start to read. I mean, it's good that, you know, to listen in and as we read, but it's so good to also set time apart alone to just have that quiet alone time to listen to God and to read his word and allow him to personally speak to you when no one else is around and show you and say, this is what that means. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about this. Like, this is so important. This is what we need. These are the words to live by. This is the Almighty God speaking to us and telling us that his son, the light that came into the world, the light for all men, right? And so it's so important. But I pray that you guys have been blessed by what we read today. Stay tuned. We're going to continue on with these podcasts of putting out God's truth, coming together as we read this word together and allow God to speak to us. Blessings over you all. Until next time, peace.